for a few years and has led Virginia to the national championship in 2019. It will remain Wisconsin basketball. Minute 13 to play, 22 to shoot, 70 to 63, Wisconsin. John Blackwell with 15 points tonight, all the second half. He'll be throwing it in, front court sideline left. Stephon Walker in his face, inbounds pass to Hepburn. They try to trap him near the midstripe, and they have him trapped, and the Badgers need to use a timeout. With 110 to play and 19 to shoot. Chucky was near the midstripe, so that becomes a third defender there, and Wisely had to take a timeout.
When you have that action, almost like what they were doing earlier, you have to send two guys away for the screen. You got to have more action towards it, because if you have single screens, it's too easy to force somebody somewhere. Also, that Blackwell inexperienced pass, you never throw it backwards into that corner, because that's where the guy's going to get trapped. So they got to watch out for those things here out of this out of bounds.
Robert Morris has one timeout available. Wisconsin has two. The Badgers are in the double bonus. Robert Morris, the 1-1. So we'll do this again with Blackwell inbounding, front court sideline left.
You see how they've mixed it up right now. You got Wall and Crowell at the top. You'll notice probably they're going to pin both of them down here if they're coming off of Chucky. Here we go.
And here's Chucky weaving through that traffic. Gets the inbounds pass, throws it back to Blackwell, who gets fouled. You had Walker and Last both there. And it will go against Jackson Last, and that will be his fourth. And two shots coming up again for John Blackwell with 108 to play.
With this little amount of time, they have to foul quickly. And Wisconsin's only shooting, 65% from the free throw line. It's 63%. So this is a very calculated move.
Blackwell at the line. The first free throw is good. And he is now 6 out of 7 tonight from the free throw line. 71-63, Wisconsin. Blackwell, Crowell, and Wall with 16 points. John with a chance to pass him if he can knock down this free throw. It's on the way, and it's good. 72-63, Wisconsin with 108 remaining. And here comes Alfredo Boglio with 105 to play. Boglio hands off, dribble, handoff, foul again. Boglio to Williams, and Boglio pops Kamari McGee, and Boglio is called for the foul. Been how many of those dribble handoffs? Seems like 4 or 5 of them where they've committed the offensive foul. Inbounds pass to Blackwell trying to trap him. They instead foul him with 102 to play, and I think that's Boglio, and he will foul out of the game. So freshman from Italy, Alfredo Boglio's night is over. He finishes with 10 points. And he will foul out with 62 seconds to play. Wisconsin 21 of 32 at the free throw line in this game.
That's a lot of attempts.
It sure is. A ton. Ben Kryskowiak checking in the lineup for Robert Morris. Kryskowiak, basketball fan in Wisconsin. You know that name? Yep. He's the son of Larry Kryskowiak. First free throw for Blackwell is no good. Larry, of course, a Milwaukee Buck, and also he was a head coach at Montana and then about a decade at Utah. Ben, 6'4", sophomore. Blackwell missed the first free throw. One more coming. On the way, and it's good. 10-point lead for the Badgers, 73-63. We have 1 minute remaining at the Kohl Center. Justice Williams glides to the left wing, hands off to Jackson Last. Goes to Kryskowiak, right of the lane, pushed it up, off the rim, and in for Ben Kryskowiak. And the press is on. They get it into Blackwell, feeding Tyler Wall, who gets fouled with 48 seconds to play, 73-65, Wisconsin.
I know they like this bigger lineup, but right now, again, they're going to keep coming, trying to score. It's probably best here to do a little bit of rotation to have your best free throw shooters in the game.
Tyler Wall tonight is 6 out of 10 at the free throw line. This is where the depth for Greg Gard is really paying dividends, because you think at crunch time, you know, right now you got Max Klusman on the bench, AJ Storer on the bench. A guy like John Blackwell really providing this spark. allowing Wisconsin to get out to this now 8-point lead. They've led by as many as 12. Tyler Wall shooting two, and the first is on the way, and it's good. 17 for Wall. Alvaro Fulgueras back on the floor for Robert Morris. 74-65 Wisconsin. Second free throw for Tyler. Airborne. Good. 75-65 the Badgers. 48 seconds remaining. And here comes Justice Williams quickly to the front court. Stops at the right wing around a Hastings screen. Throwing to Fulgueras, top of the circle. Hands off the last. High on the left. He'll take a deep three and hit it again. Jackson last for three. Badgers lead down to seven and presses on. A foul in the backcourt. That was Williams fouling Kamari McGee. Of all the fouls that Robert Morris has committed, that's the first on Justice Williams. 34.6 seconds to play. 75-68 Wisconsin.
When those screens happen and they're going to be shooting looking for threes, you have to double the three. You have to make him give it up, make him throw an errant pass, something, but you cannot just let him have open looks.
They are 13 of 27. Last is 4 out of 7 from long range. First free throw for McGee is good. 76-68 Wisconsin, 34.6 seconds remaining. Second attempt for Kamari McGee as Carter Gilmore ready to check back in. McGee sends it, hits it, and allows Gilmore to get in for Steven Crowell. 77-68 Wisconsin. With 34 and a half seconds remaining here in Madison. And the inbounds pass to Justice Williams. To the front court on the right side. It's a bump from last. Now a screen from Hastings. A throw to Hastings. Low on the right. He's doubled by McGee and Hepburn. And a pass deflected, but it got to Williams. Tries a three. Right corner. Missed it. Gilmore the rebound. Hands off to Hepburn. Chucky fouled in the backcourt with 16.2 to play. As Marquise Hastings got him. And now Badger fans can begin to exhale.
It was a good focus to keep it in a guy who's not going to actually shoot a lot of threes. Williams is not going to light you up from there. So that was really good adjustment out of that free throw.
Chucky Hepburn at the free throw line. 9 points, 5 assists for Chucky. First free throw around and out, no good. Second attempt coming up for Chucky. Badgers up 9, 16.2 to play. Free throw is good. And Isaac Lindsay will come in for John Blackwell. 18 points for Blackwell. Marcus Silver ready to come in for Tyler Wall. Ian Kirtle will check in as well. And for Hepburn, 78-68 Wisconsin, 16.2 seconds remaining. Here comes Justice Williams, right side of the front court, down to 12 seconds. Williams between the circles, 10 seconds. Williams up top. Williams for three over McGee. Back rim no good. A rebound tipped into the hands of Hurdle. And the Badgers can burn off the remaining time. They get win number two in the season. They had to earn it. Pretty good, really good effort from Robert Morris. The Badgers end up 10 points better.
Yeah, great job. Again, the key, John Blackwell. They were able to make second half stops, and they got the ball in the paint. So good job by Wisconsin to follow through with your game plan.
42 paint points for Wisconsin tonight as their record evens at 2-2 as they get ready to head to Fort Myers, Florida. Next up, the Virginia Cavaliers on Monday. Final score, Wisconsin 78, Robert Morris 68. Charlie and I are back with the Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's called The Castle is being sued by a group of seven women who stayed there, found it consumed with bats.
Tell the best part, though.
The exterminator allegedly found multiple inches of bat guano kicking the floor.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, my God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
Fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As partners.
Badger Basketball has been brought to you by your Wisconsin Ford dealers, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com. Fabic Cat, your cat equipment dealer throughout Badgerland. SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Visit uwsportsmedicine.org. Welcome to the Badger Post Game Show.
Say easy is boring. Anybody can do easy. So make it. It was hard. It was hard tonight. Badgers got the job done, though. I mean, with the strength of a second half effort, John Blackwell specifically, the Badgers in general in the second half as Wisconsin defeats Robert Morris tonight, Charlie, 78-68.
Hey, they worked on the things they were errant in. It wasn't right away, but they transitioned to get the pressure that they needed for not easy buckets on transition offense, but also stop the three. I know they shot a lot of threes. I mean, they were insane from the three-point line. But what Wisconsin did really, really well is when Blackwell got inserted in the second half, the offense seemed to slow down and just have its rhythm, which they needed that victory.
The Badgers in the second half went 11 of 18 from the floor, 61%, 3 of 7 from the arc after 0 of 6 in the first half. So with the game, Wisconsin 53% from the floor. So the offense was able to get it done here tonight for Greg Gard's team. 78-68, Wisconsin defeats Robert Morris. More of our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame shows coming up. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
How do you master the game of basketball? With ingenuity. By creating new opportunities to turn post-ups into layups, spin moves into easy steals, press breaks into fast breaks. At UW Health, we use the same ingenuity to treat injuries. We build a team of the greatest minds in sports medicine constantly innovating for the future of sports treatment. As the Badgers' official team doctors, we're dedicated to delivering advanced care every day so any athlete can stay on their A game. UW Health. Remarkable.
What happens when you call your insurance company?
If you have water in your basement, press 1.
Most big companies have a recorded message or an app.
If you are in your living room and see sky when you look up, press 2.
But when something bad happens, you just want to talk to a person. On a day like that, that phone line can end up feeling like a lifeline. At a time like that, you want a company like West Bend. Because the worst brings out our best.
If there is a tree in your bedroom, press 3.
Visit thesilverlining.com to find out more.
The passion, the tradition, the rivalries. Sirius XM is your destination for all things college sports, and we've got you covered. On Big Ten Radio, there is complete coverage of every school in the conference, including live games, plus 24/7 talk and analysis. So cheer along on the Sirius XM app and listen to your favorite team anywhere. And now you can get 3 months of Sirius XM free. Subscribe now. See offer details at SiriusXM.com/Big Ten Sports.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
Are you ready for Badger basketball? Because it's time to get geared up. We're all coming together for those amazing on-the-court moments. Shields is right there with you, cheering our team on to victory. So suit up in your Badger red and white with fan gear from Shields, in-store or online. And let's get ready for Badger basketball. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as the Badgers defeat Robert Morris tonight, 78-68. Four Badgers in double figures. Tyler Wall and John Blackwell share the scoring honors with 18 points, 16 for Stephen Crowell, 10 for Chucky Hepburn. Four Colonials in double figures. Jackson Last with 16, T.J. Wainwright with 15, 11 for Justice Williams, and 10 for Alfredo Boglio. I mentioned the four Badgers in double figures. The team's leading scorer was not one of them. Leading scorer coming into the game, A.J. Storr. Charlie, you had, you had a good point. You had a lot of good points once again tonight. But you mentioned, you know, fairly early in the game, like, A.J., you're a really good player. You're really gifted offensively. You can get yours. Not tonight. And that really proved true. Others got involved because that's just the way the game was flowing.
I'm wondering if somebody on the coaching staff saw that, because he, as soon as John came in, he didn't make his presence back onto the court. And I think that's really important for Badger fans to see. They have a lot of weapons. As soon as they figure out who they're playing, use the right weapons. And what AJ has to think of is, I know I'm a scorer. He's an elite scorer.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do different when they don't need you to score tonight? Do you have to play lockup D? Do you have to get extra rebounds? What is it that you're going to have to do to be out on the court? So I think as these guys mature, we're going to see these guys start to see different guys. And I think it's going to be kind of true for all season. They will be your starters, but you're going to see different guys shine because that's just what they're going to need.
That's the beauty of this sport, right? We see this at this level. Certainly you can see it in the NBA. Like, some nights I need to rebound. Some nights I need to distribute. Some nights I've got to be really locked in, as you say, defensively. There's so many other ways you can help your team. I rattle off point totals, right? Because that's, you know, you're keeping track of that. But there's other things that you can bring to the party. And that's what he's learning. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's learning that. And I think, you know, I just think of my own journey through that. Most of these guys come from being top scorers. Remember, they're in high school, they're the elite top scorer. Mm-hmm. Now they have to come and be something else, and that takes time. You got to adjust. You got to think about those things. And I remember there were games that I got looked at and said, just play defense tonight. Mm-hmm. Or, Charlie, I need 20 boards, right? Whatever it was, and you're like, okay. Like, you don't need me to score? No. We have that covered, right? And so that's taking your pride that you've got, suck it up a little bit, and that's maturity, and then just say, what does my team need from me? Maybe I'm going to sit out tonight. And that's hard too, right, as a competitor. But they have 11 guys, maybe 12, that they can go to in this lineup, and I think that's beautiful to have. And as they mature, they're going to get better. Fans are going to enjoy what they see, and I think this was that start of that.
Yeah, we talk a lot about how teams learn when they lose a game. You can learn a lot when you win a game, too, and I think they've learned some more about themselves here tonight.
Gives you a little confidence, mm-hmm. right? You need that. I know winning's fun, but even when you're struggling, you need that to pump you up just a little bit to say, all right, we're doing the right thing.
All right, Badgers get the win tonight against Robert Morris, 78-60. 68. When we continue, we'll check out the Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Wolf. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights, at least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC Excellent. On a Thursday.
DC Tell, that's 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Postgame report continues. Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show. Wisconsin 78, Robert Morris 68 tonight. We check out our Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. Michigan loses for the first time this season. Long Beach State got them, 94-86. Really, really good shooting night for Long Beach State. Just punching up the box score right now. 56%, including 8-17 from the three-point line. Valpo and Illinois in a tight one. About 5 minutes gone by, second half. Valparaiso leads the Illini 51-47. Iowa on top of Arkansas State early second half, 57-44. Maryland having a tough go of it so far. They're late in the first half. Villanova 35, the Terrapins 15. Michigan State picked up its second one of the year in the Gavitt Games matchup against Butler. The Spartans 20 points better than Thad Matta's Bulldogs, 74-54. Penn State over Morehead State, 74-51. Big Ten's been, it's been choppy, you know, for the league, and there's really no other way to, you could probably put it another way, but I'll go with choppy. Really, just, you got some teams that are just like Wisconsin, maybe just trying to find out who they are.
I think that's true. They're not upper class heavy, and that was the last couple years, and so I think you're going to see that, but they're highly talented, so mm-hmm. they may take some licks just like Wisconsin's doing, but I think that's then going to make the Big Ten a separation between first place and probably seventh place within a couple games.
Yeah, just like last year. Yeah, all over again. I mean, you had teams on the final day of the season, you're playing for that double bye, the Big Ten tournament, or you could be playing really early just on how that last game or two went for you. The Badgers get their second win. They're now two up and two down as they get ready to head down to Southwest Florida. Wisconsin 78, Robert Morris 68. We'll have more of our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show coming up. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
Any team can be conquered with the right playbook. It takes human ingenuity to craft and adapt the plays that will defeat even the strongest opponents. The moves that dominate on the field, the court, the ice. And cancer treatment is no different. That's why UW Health Carbone Cancer Center uses ingenuity to combat complex cancers. As the number one cancer hospital in Wisconsin, we're proud to write the playbook on fighting cancer, so you always have the number one team in your corner. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Running a business is a lot of work. Luckily, I've got a great partner.
Oh, I thank you.
I meant U.S. Bank.
I knew that.
Use Bank Business Essentials as a huge help to us.
Totally. Their comprehensive point-of-sale system does it all. Tracks inventory, manages schedules, customizes orders,
plus all the regular banking stuff.
If only it could make coffee.
Nah, that's your job.
From point-of-sale to quick loans, we have many ways to make your business boom. That's what U.S. Bank is for. U.S. Bank. We'll get there together. Equal housing lender member FDIC.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Now is your chance to be there when the Badgers take the field at Camp Randall Stadium for the final time this season. Celebrate Senior Day with Wisconsin football on November 18th by securing your tickets today. Don't wait. Lock in your spot for game day today. For more information and to purchase your Wisconsin football tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues as the Badgers defeat Robert Morris tonight, 78-68. We mentioned the four Badgers in double figures. Wall and Blackwell each with 18. Crowell with 16. Chucky Hepburn with 10 as head coach Greg Gard settles in with his courtside. Well, talk going into the year, Coach, about some depth that you have and some options. If some guys have it, some guys don't.
Right.
Pretty nice to have that freshman out of Michigan as an option.
Yeah. It's pretty efficient there. 18 minutes to take five shots to get 18 points. And quite frankly, his defense, other than fouling two shooters, his defense was pretty good too. That was the only thing that he gets a bad grade on.
Keep him humble.
Yeah. Well, but no, I mean, kid just plays. He competes. He understands. He has awareness. So a lot of good things for him, and that's the mark of a team that has to. Never know who's going to get called upon. As I tell them all the time, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. John did that. Kamari McGee, too. When we needed a little defensive juice in the second half, I thought getting Chucky in there and chasing screens and Kamari on the ball, we were a little better defensively. Not great, but better than what we were earlier.
And you've seen some things here out of Kamari in practice.
He's practiced this well. He's practiced well. I thought he practiced really well on Wednesday and again yesterday. And he's platoons back and forth because we need we have to get a look on the scout team, and he gives us a good look. Him and Chucky go head to head a lot. So, for him to stay positive and stay ready and, come in and give us a boost. You don't have to score. As I always say, you don't have to. You can do – there's 100 other things you can do to impact the game in a positive way. We have enough guys who can put the ball in the basket. We've got to find a way to be better defensively as a team. And that's – do what you can do when you come on the floor.
That seemed to be the rhythm out here, is that everybody could have to do something different. A.J. didn't have to be the scorer tonight because
right.
he didn't have that flow. But John steps in. He's able to fill that gap and then produce not only points efficiently, but he seemed to be a real big spark on the defensive end.
Yeah, he just – for a freshman, his awareness, I think that's the biggest thing I've been so impressed with. Obviously, he's always – for the most part, always in a stance. He knows, he senses a play before it's happening. So, like I said, just awareness is probably the best word for him that he's has that's, beyond his years for having, just being the start of his college basketball career.
You mentioned before the season you'd like to see your team get at least 25 free throw attempts today, or per game, 40 attempts tonight, and then 42 paint points too. So you're kind of using your size.
We did what we had to do. We pounded it inside, and Tyler goes 5 for 5. Steve goes 7 for 9. They're both going to shoot the line better, but I thought we were more. Tyler with some of those punch drives was that rather than settling for a three, go ahead and tack on as a ball got reversed or on a throwback. So that was his production was efficient too. Takes 5 shots and gives 18 points. So, for John and Tyler, 2 good, very efficient, productive nights.
Even though there's things to work on, what are you taking away as maybe 1 or 2 positives?
And the ball didn't get to the rim as much as what it has, and that's what we've really been focused on. Now that turned on a bit us because they got some threes, But we've got to find that fine line between ball can't get in the belly of our defense, and then we got to be able to be better at contesting threes. And some of it's positioning. I watched all the ones in the first half at halftime, and by and large, it was mistakes of, you know, not being aggressive enough on closeouts or not enough ball pressure. So those all correctable things, but I thought we were better at keeping the ball off the dribble, out of the belly and the heart of the paint.
Before we wrap up, I want to circle back to Tyler Wall with the 18 points tonight. He's a 48th member now of the 1,000 point club, the 8th member of the points, rebounds, assist milestones, 1,000 points, 500 boards, 200 plus assists. I could rattle off a bunch of numbers. Just a winner, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he competes. You know, sometimes he gets wound a little hot. He's wired hot, so you never have to wind him up. We have to unwind him at times and cool him down, calm him down. But no, and for him to, you know, he was very receptive to coaching, to changing how he was playing a little bit in terms of, you know, the punch driving and the not getting into a lot of dribble back down stuff. Let's move the ball. And it was for only 2 days of really, you know, adjusting with that. I thought he did a really good job.
All right, appreciate your time as always. Yeah, well, another easy one coming up on Monday.
Got that going for you.
So anyway,
here comes deep water again, right?
Here you go. Yep, safe right. travels. See you down there.
Thanks.
Badgers head coach Greg Gard joining us courtside. Wisconsin wins it tonight over Robert Morris, 78-68. Charlie and I are back to wrap things up in 1 minute. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
All right, Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. The Badgers 78, Robert Morris 68 tonight. I would like to think Robert Morris could be a factor in the Horizon League this season. I think Andrew Toole has a really nice club, and I think the Badgers do too. So it was interesting listening to Coach Gard because he was talking about what you were talking about. It's almost like you played for him or something. So you kind of know what to look for here, don't
well,
you?
Well, I know what to look for, but you know, we were talking about this in the break. You have a really great responsibility watching the ball. If I had to do that, I'd be fumbling. So for me to be able to watch the court is really key, and it's great. I mean, that tells you what is happening, that, like, hey, we understand the game. We're able to help break it down. I loved what Coach Gard said. You may not be in right now, but be ready. Like, what a beautiful thing to say to these young men. Like, I don't need you today, but I will, right? And you just have to then trust that coach is going to do the right thing and put you in, and that's just going to be over time, game after game, that repetition, and then they're going to keep gelling. And I just think we're going to see guys highlight. It's going to be somebody new every game.
And once you see the beauty of the depth, it allows you to have those kind of pieces to be able to mix and match and find the combinations for a specific opponent. It's been fun, man. We'll see you probably in a couple weeks or so. 10
yes.
days maybe, right?
Yes, so, 10
yeah,
days.
For Western
I
Illinois.
Look forward to
so,
it.
Yeah, it's fun, man. Appreciate it.
Always enjoy it.
Charlie Wills joining us this week. The Badgers back at it on Monday afternoon in Central Time, a 5 o'clock tip down at Fort Myers as the Badgers take on the Virginia Cavaliers. Again, your final, Wisconsin 78, Robert Morris 68. That'll do us. for us at the Kohl Center. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Sports Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Charlie Wills, our engineer Dave McCann, and Riley Schneider is back in our network studio. This is Matt LePay, hoping you'll join us on Monday afternoon as the Badgers take on Virginia down in Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond. American Family Insurance, insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of UW Athletics. And by Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
In 2020, just to make sure that the guy who received 154,000 more votes than the other guy in our state received our 16 electoral votes. So it's been a challenging time, but you know, we try to walk and chew gum at the same time and you know, do regular things, protecting workers, protecting seniors, protecting consumers, all the things that I ran for initially.
All the things that we used to do that nobody knew you used to do until
That's right. Until
now the attorney general becomes the most important position in all of politics.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. In sort of regular times, you could focus more on these other issues, but we have so many different issues now that we've never had to deal with before. But we're trying to do all those things simultaneously, and I think we've done a good job at it, that at the Michigan Department of Attorney General.
Yeah, let's get into some of the boring work that you normally do, like helping people clean up their records and get jobs and lead good lives. I know you just came from an event to help people who've had, you know, criminal pasts clean up their records so that they can, you know, they did their time so they can move on and lead productive lives. That's the kind of work I want an attorney general working on.
So what we've seen, and I've saw this many years as both as a prosecutor, as a defense attorney, that, you know, people who have old convictions on their record, it really stymies their ability to move on in life. And so not only is it really limit what they can do from the perspective of employment or in education or even housing where they can live, but it leads to recidivism. It leads people to reoffend because they don't have those opportunities. So, you know, killing, I don't know, two birds with one stone. I mean, on one hand, you know, when you help people get their convictions cleared up and expunged, you are giving them these opportunities. They pay more in taxes. They pay for their child support, which sometimes the state has to pick up the tab if they don't pay. And if they do reoffend, we're talking about $35,000 to $40,000 a year to lock them up. And so, you know, I participated heavily in this clean slate package of bills to make it easier to get people's records expunged. I put together an entire department at our office, and now we go all around the state assisting people, not, you know, dozens or hundreds, I mean, thousands and thousands of people, getting their old records cleared up so that they can move on in their life, get better jobs, and better support their families.
All important stuff. Now, the president has just come out and he's pardoned a bunch of people who've had marijuana convictions. Now, this is federal. That's got to trickle down to the state level because most drug crimes, you know, especially on the marijuana front, aren't those mostly state offenses?
They are, and we were already doing that in Michigan. So I actually drafted the legislation that ended up passing to make it very easy for people with misdemeanor marijuana convictions to get those expunged, much easier than other kinds of crimes because it's not even illegal anymore. So I thought we should treat that differently than we treat all other crimes that still, of course, are, you know, either misdemeanors or felonies under the criminal code. So, you know, we've done that. You know, my view is on marijuana is, you know, basically we just have a lot of problems right now with violent crime. And, you know, misdemeanor marijuana cases, just it's not worth our time, you know, trying to pursue those cases. And it's something that, you know, we haven't seen a correlation between marijuana usage and violent crime.
Yeah. No, my conservative listeners, you hit on a point that they're fixated on. You know, violent crime is through the roof and that Democrats are weak on violent crime. Weak on violent crime?
I would suggest that's not true at our department at all. In fact, we did a lot to expand the number of units that we have in our criminal division. So we have all kinds of new units that we never had before. First of all, we have some of the biggest investigations and prosecutions in the country here in Michigan in terms of sexual assault. So our clergy abuse investigation, seven dioceses we have right now, we charged 11 clergy members who had committed, you know, many of them, dozens of acts of sexual assault against children. And, you know, we're in trial right now, so we have a lot of those folks that we've prosecuted. We haven't lost any of those cases yet. Boy Scouts of America, we identified about 3,000 cases of sexual abuse, 3,000 victims in Michigan alone, and we're pursuing those cases right now. We have a brand new unit in our office, first of its kind in the country, the Organized Retail Crime Unit. And what it is, it's those large-scale, you know, operations that really rise to the level of, you know, these are criminal syndicates, right? And, you know, in Michigan alone, $1 billion a year they steal from small businesses and from, you know, big box stores. And we're going after, you know, these heads of these criminal organizations. Well, I testified to, you know, enable more time for those individuals when they get apprehended. But you see millions of dollars that are walking out the door. And what happens is for local communities, it means those businesses have to shut down because the loss to theft is too great. And also as consumers, it increases the amount of these products for everybody. So we're going really hardcore after those individuals. And, you know, I will say this. In terms of these gun-related offenses, first of all, working very hard to make sure that people who don't, you know, who aren't legally permitted to have guns, don't have them. And I'm talking about people who are, you know, convicted felons, people who are currently on parole or probation, who shouldn't have those weapons. But what I'd really like to see done in Michigan is, you know, I'm running against a guy who thinks that under the Second Amendment, this is his viewpoint, that there are no restrictions under the law permitted of any kind at all, whatsoever. That means anybody has any kind of gun, anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance. That's insane.
So hold on, let me walk this to the next conclusion. So I can have anything?
That's right, you can have anything.
So I can have a howitzer, I can have a, you know, stealth bomber, I can have a nuclear, I can have anything?
Well, that's his interpretation of the Second Amendment. You know, I support the Second Amendment, but with certain restrictions, of course.
Well, this is where I come down. Everyone believes in gun control to a certain extent. Everyone, there's a line. For me, it's just where we draw that line. Do we want people having AR-15s on every street corner? And I don't. And I don't think the majority of people do. I'm not a gun grabber, I own a gun. But there's a point at which, you know, keeping the public safe from people who I don't think should have guns is something we should be fighting for.
Yeah, and I've done these school safety tours where I go all around the state of Michigan and assist schools in identifying whatever their weaknesses are. You know, do they need better door locks? You know, do they need more surveillance equipment, more cameras? Do they need to make sure that there are locks on doors so that you can't even enter to the lobby without talking to somebody? And we can do all that, but we can turn our schools into prisons.
Yeah, that's just sounds horrible.
But right now, an 18-year-old can go out and buy, you know, a deadly weapon and then go to school later on that day. We know most 18-year-olds are still in school. So if you can't buy a beer when you're 18, you know, my personal opinion is you shouldn't be able to buy a deadly weapon until you turn 21. And so it's things like that, right, that just seem common sense that we can change things so that we don't have 18-year-olds going into their schools and killing a bunch of their classmates.
I got to tell you, though, I'm listening to you going around the schools and figuring out how to lock them down. I know I'm older. I'm getting older every day, but I remember when the schools were open. I remember when all the doors were open and it was a place where people came and you encouraged kids to spend more time at. Now we're shutting them out. My kids, you know, they can only get there 5 minutes before the class starts. And it's this kind of restrictive place now. And it's because of this issue, which drives me insane.
Well, you know, when we were in school, and I'm not going to guess at your age, I'm going to guess we're probably similarly situated. Are you a Gen Xer like I am?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 55. So I throw myself right in there.
So we, you know, we had tornado drills. You know, I remember having a drill. I still remember this when I was a freshman in high school. And, you know, we were worried, of course, about, you know, nuclear war.
Yep, you hide under the desks in the Catholic school because Catholic school desks protected you from nuclear fallout.
Somehow. And now my kids, I mean, I can't tell you how many times my kids, you know, they're sophomores now in college. But when they were in high school, used to text me from their locked up classroom, say, I don't know what time I'm going to be let out. There was a rumor of somebody having a gun and we're all locked in. We didn't have that. when we were kids. And I think a big part of it, I think, is because we did not permit assault weapons to be sold legally, except for, of course, to law enforcement. And I think the thing that we have to think about is, you know, first of all, I'm a huge promoter of having law enforcement have all the things they need to be able to do their jobs, sure. Right? And to make sure, of course, that we are encouraging people to enter law enforcement because they have the right pay scale and they have proper benefits. I mean, good retirement benefits and you know, good medical benefits and all the rest. But they're outmanned, you know, on the streets. They're outgunned because they don't oftentimes have access to the same caliber of weapons that, that you know,
and
criminals
on
the streets do.
Didn't we learn that lesson back in the 90s in Los Angeles with that debacle back then? I thought we learned that. Why do we have to keep going back and relearning things we should already know?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. But another thing that we're trying to do, you know, I mean, we can be tough on crime, but also smart on crime. So I have a program, first of its kind in the country, very proud of it, called the Job Court. And what we're doing, they're starting it off in Wayne County, in Marquette County, and here in Genesee County. And I'm working with the county prosecutors and the county sheriffs. So it's a program where we take these low-level offenders when they first get into the system, not your violent offenders, but people who, you know, maybe they're not violent now.
Made a mistake.
But maybe in the future, if we don't set them on the right course, something bad could happen in the future. And it's a diversion program where we put them right into job training and right into a job. And you know, a lot of these are union jobs. They're good paying, good benefits, and we provide them with some wraparound services. They need help with transportation. They need help with childcare. We try to assist them. I think we're going to have a 0% recidivism rate. I think none of those people are going to end up reoffending, because the thing that I found as a longtime prosecutor is this: the most dangerous person is a person who's got nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
So we're giving these folks something to lose.
Absolutely.
And my hope is, I mean, these good union jobs, and you know, it's great. All the unions are working with us on this. You know, they need people, and they're excited to start training these folks, to start helping these folks find a different path. And what I think is going to happen to these folks is that, you know, they're going to end up being good tax-paying members of the community, and we're not going to have to support them in any way, shape, or form. Instead, you know, they're going to be folks that are out there contributing to our tax base, not costing our tax
base. No, you're singing to the choir here, because I'm that kid. You know, I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland, and you know, there was no hope or opportunity in our area. And it was that union card I carry in my wallet that I now live in a neighborhood with doctors and lawyers. My kids will never see the poverty and desperation that I grew up with. They'll never know the insecurity. They'll never know the kind of pain and suffering that culture went through. So to hear you talk about it and understand that is really important to have an elected official understand it.
Yeah, and you know what we've seen, you know, we have Vocational Village, for instance, in Michigan Department of Corrections. And it's funny, I was talking to my friends at the Carpenters and Millwrights, and I mean, they have, you know, where they have that training program right there in the facility, 0% of the people who participate in this program reoffend. 0%. That's unheard of. But, you know, man, being a carpenter or millwright, these are good paying jobs.
Yep.
And what happens, they get out there. First of all, they're so busy working, they don't have time to go gang banging or doing anything else. But also, they're making really good money.
As you said, you know, they've got something to lose. And again, I can attest to that, because I'm right there with you. I had some problems early on as a younger man. I got that job, and you know, I've been an upstanding citizen ever since. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Dana Nessel. She's Michigan's Attorney General. You want to check out her website, DanaNessel.com. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. Now, as a labor guy, I know you're the top cop of the state. And one of the things I got to get to is one of the things that I'm thrilled that you do, and our Attorney General in my state of Pennsylvania has done a great job of going after people who, the real criminals, in my view. And we've talked about some people who commit crimes, but I think the real criminals sit in our corporate boardrooms and sit in our employers who steal from their workers, who misclassify their workers. I think the Rand Corporation did a study that said, you know, about $45 trillion in wealth has been stolen from the working class. I love the fact that there are attorney generals out there who are fighting for the little guy. Tell me about the work that you're doing here in Michigan.
Sure. Well, one of the things that we did as soon as I got into office is we set up the payroll fraud enforcement unit. And what we do is this: you know, anybody can make a complaint to us, and we look at people who have been ripped off, workers who have been ripped off for their tips or their overtime. Lots of folks who, if they go to one job to the next, they don't get their last paycheck. And a lot of people, as you suggested, who are misclassified by their workers, by their employers or their contractors. And they know that they are employees, right? They only work for them. They're not out there, you know, with, a private company that's going out and doing a whole bunch of different jobs. They're just working for that one particular contractor, that one particular employer, and yet they are being classified as an independent contractor. They're provided a 1099, so they have to pay their own taxes, and they are not getting the benefits that they are entitled to, medical benefits and retirement benefits, which they're entitled to under the law. And they're also robbing the state of Michigan because
absolutely,
they're not paying taxes for their employee. And you know, it injures employees in all kinds of different ways, including things like workers' comp that they're not entitled to because they were an independent contractor. So what we do is we work, you know, we work, first of all, with the unions because they know what employees are getting ripped off. But we work with everybody out there. And, you know, you'd be surprised. With an employer, sometimes all it takes is a friendly call or a nice little letter that's got our logo on it and our seal from the Department of Attorney General to say, we think you may be misclassifying your worker. You might want to take a look. And boom, like within a week, oh, yeah, no, we got that worked out. Sorry about that.
Hey, we see you.
And the problem is when you don't have enforcement of laws like this, then really what's the incentive for these employers to obey the law? And so county prosecutors, we've got 83 county prosecutors in Michigan, but they don't do this kind of work. Only the attorney general does this kind of work. And so we've actually gone after, I mean, we've prosecuted employers when they have ripped off their employees.
That's what I want to hear. I want to hear them going to jail for a change, because you never hear that. You know, I've often said if I wanted to kill somebody, I would just hire them, because we never seem to hold employers responsible when they're negligent or criminal in this view. But you know, we're at election time, and this is where this kind of moment is important. And I look at the last president that we had. The person that he put in charge of looking into wage theft was someone who was accused of wage theft.
Exactly.
We now have someone who's aggressively pursuing people who are committing wage theft. And I look at the same kind of thing here. I listen to your story. I got to wonder about your opponent. You know, any thoughts here about how they would look at wage theft?
Well, I mean, you know, these are folks that, you know, support the right to freeload. Right. These are people that have made their disdain for unions known for a very long time. I mean, I'm a big supporter of unions. I'm a big supporter of labor. It's so critical in terms of maintaining a society where you have the ability for people to, you know, not fall into poverty. I mean, the unions are what built the middle class. We say it all the time, right? But it's true. And whether it's worker safety laws, whether it's the fact that people get to have the weekend off, whether it's, child labor laws, I mean, you know, unions did all that. And that's why, you know, I support unions. They support me. And my opponent, I mean, he is a guy that, you know, I know that all these initiatives that we've been talking about, they would all fall by the wayside in the event that he was in office. And, you know, he just took a picture the other day. This is not related so much to workers' rights, but it does relate to something else that's very important to me, which is uplifting our public school system and our educators. You know, he just took a picture with him and Betsy DeVos and bragged about, you know, he supports her, she supports him.
That should be a disqualifier right there. Because look at where we are right now. I just saw a study, my friend Heather Long at the Washington Post, you know, put out a piece that said we're down like almost 400,000 teachers than we had before the pandemic. Education is under assault. And I would say billionaire Betsy and her clan are a big part of that.
They demonize our educators, you know. And I always think about sort of the story of the trajectory of my life, right? You know, my parents were the children of very poor immigrants who had fled World War II and, you know, couldn't read, couldn't write, had real no good skill set. And yet my parents, you know, they went to the Detroit public schools And they got a good education. They went on. They both, you know, worked their way through other things later. My mom became a teacher. She's a MEA member, a retired MEA member at this point. You know, she's a special ed teacher. My dad was an accountant. But they could come from these incredibly poor families, and they could lift themselves up because they received this, you know, world-class public education. And, you know, I think that people like Betsy DeVos recognize that the only way that you can have folks like her, the billionaires of the world, succeed is to make sure that you have people not be permitted to get a good public school education. And that way, they don't even participate in democracy. And I wrote a brief on this in a case. It was a big case in Michigan a few years back called the Right to Read case, Right to Literacy case. And it had to do with when former Governor Rick Snyder had an emergency manager come in and take over the Detroit public schools. And, boy, they weren't providing anything for these kids. The kids still had to go to school every day, but they didn't have books, and they didn't have teachers, and they didn't have, you know, the conditions in the classrooms were horrible, and they weren't learning anything. And, part of why I supported those kids was to say, listen, these kids, it's not just that you're never going to give them a fighting chance in life to do anything if they can't read or write. But more than that, they'll never be able to participate in democracy, because people who don't read and write frequently don't vote. And so part of, I think, this whole scheme by the billionaires of the world is to make sure that people don't have the ability to vote, because then they don't recognize how to make their own lives better, and they don't recognize the billionaires of the world, like Betsy DeVos, are making their lives worse and taking advantage of them. It's all really tied together. But I think that's what we've tried to focus on since I've been in office. I was the first Democrat in that office in over 16 years. And really trying ways to lift up working people. And we have so many different things that we've done. You know, Adopt and Amend, I don't know if you've heard of this, it's kind of a Michigan phenomenon. But it's something where the Republican legislature, what they've done is when the people bring forward a ballot initiative that the legislature refuses to do, and we had a few back, in 2018 where this happened, you know, we had one that was had to do with paid sick leave for workers. And we had one that had to do with a working, you know, wage, like a living wage, a $15 minimum wage. And for food servers, you know, they could be $3 an hour.
And then the sub-minimum wage, right?
Sub-minimum wage. And so lifting them up out of poverty. And so what the Republican majorities in the legislature did is very clever. They passed that. And then they totally gutted it later so that the voters would never get a chance even to weigh in on this. Well, you know, we worked with outside organizations who sued the legislature, and we got a court to say that is an illegal and unconstitutional practice. And because of that, as soon as we work out some of the appeals, I know we're going to be able to lift people up and make sure they get that paid sick leave.
But it shouldn't be that difficult, should it? I mean, the will of the people should happen. And I know we've got an election coming up, and you're on the ballot. And I'm hoping for, you know, people to vote for people like you, because we need people who are going to defend democracy. So last question I've got for you. You know, we hear this frame, democracy's under attack. Is that hyperbole, or are we really under attack?
No, we're there. We're there now. And, you know, when you think about, you know, what the future is going to be for our state here in Michigan and all across the country, it's about people getting out to vote this time and making sure that we have the right people in office. And when I say the right people, I mean the pro-democracy party, which honestly right now is just the Democrats. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. You know, myself and our Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, I mean, we had to work so hard in 2020 just to make sure the person who got the most votes in our election, you know, won our electoral votes and became the president of the United States because of it. And you have so many efforts to subvert the election. I mean, I had to handle case after case after case, whether it was Sidney Powell, you know, the Kraken coming in and trying to decertify our election. We beat her. Attorney General Ken Paxton from Texas, who took us to the United States Supreme Court to try to decertify our election, and to which I said to him, you know, Ken Paxton, who invited you here to Michigan? Stay in your lane. You know who voted for you here? No one. Absolutely no one. Stick to disenfranchising voters in your own state. Don't come to mine. So we beat him. But my own opponent. He filed those Antrim County lawsuits. He worked with the Trump administration to do it. He was in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, working with the Trump campaign. And he is still trying to decertify the results of the 2020 election right now. He's got a case that's pending before the Michigan Supreme Court where he's still trying to convince everybody to overturn the lawful election of President Biden 2 years later.
How crazy is that?
And he is running to be the person who defends the will of the voters, even though he has specifically said that he's going to throw out all the tabulators. He's not going to allow any votes to be counted after midnight of the day of the election. He wants to suppress people's votes, and he wants to undermine the will of voters. And I'm fighting to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Dana, I appreciate you sharing some time with us. I hope the good people of Michigan make the right choice. DanaNessel.com, the website. We'll get links out on social media. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Great talking with you. I'm going to take a quick break back here from the Working Class Heroes Radio Tour. Make sure you tell us what you think, where you, what you know. Rick at the RickSmithShow.com. Back after this.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. ABC.